When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
What's the vibe of the team right now? How's everyone feeling?
Yeah, the vibe is really great. So we played South Africa a few weeks ago. We had we were together about 10 days leading up to that match, so we had a great camp. Now we've got two big camps and a test match, the game against South Africa. Tough competition. We haven't played them a whole lot, I think since like 2016 or something like that. And so it's nice also just to have some new competition. And they're just a lovely team. So physical, fast, probably some of the hardest hits I've had in a while as well. So, but a big win, and I think the energy coming off that win going into a huge pack four, as well as one of our first opportunities for World Cup qualification coming up very quick. So, yeah, the vibe is really great going into this, and I think confidence is high as well.
Welcome to U.S. Rugby Happy Hour Live. Interviews with the biggest names in American rugby.
The New England Free Jacks, Major League Rugby Champions.
Scores! One-on-one to score!
Here are your hosts, Bill Baker and that other guy.
Hey everybody, welcome to USA Rugby Happy Hour Live. I've already messed up the show notes already. I wasn't supposed to bring on Kate already, but as you can see, she's on the screen. So welcome, Kate, to US Rugby Happy Hour Live. You may have noticed that Bill is not here, and that's why the show already is not off on the right foot, but we're happy that Kate is here. Kate, how you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. Thank you for having me. We don't need Bill tonight anyways. We'll be better off together.
Bill, don't worry about Bill, folks who are listening. Bill's not feeling very well, but he left me in charge and already I messed up the open, but it's all good. So here we are, excited to get... It's funny because if you look in the show notes, the first line on here, you can't see, but it says, don't blank up. And that was from Bill. That was the show notes he left me. So sorry, Bill, but we're gonna roll on. Before we begin, listeners, please follow, like, subscribe to the show. Copy the link and share with your friends. Reviews help the show grow. Follow us on social media. Visit eagleoverseas.com, uglyboarding.com. All right, we got all that out of the way. That's what I was supposed to do, but here we are. Kate, looks like there's some sun behind you. Tell us where you are right now. Have you been? What's going on?
So just landed in sunny Los Angeles today. So left in actually surprisingly sunny London to come to an even sunnier but warmer LA. So here ahead of the USA-Canada match on Sunday, just doing a bit of media, gonna do a couple school visits and some outreach this week ahead of the game, see some people and try to maybe drum up some fans for Sunday.
Absolutely. And we're anticipating it's going to be a fun match on Sunday. We'll get into that in a little bit. But if I heard that correctly, you just got off a flight from London. Was it a direct from London to LA, or did you have a layover first on the East Coast and then LA?
Yeah, I lucked out with a direct flight. So there's quite a few from London to LA, which is great. So had a nice quick flight, about 11 hours. So enough time to watch 7-8 episodes on the Netflix, catch a little nap, ended up with the road to myself. So it's a pretty luxurious flight, to be fair.
Wow, must be nice being the captain, get room to yourself.
just looking maybe old and feeble, people are like, yeah, you have this whole road to yourself. That's okay.
Well, that's great. That's great. And you mentioned USA Women's Eagles versus Canada on Sunday in Los Angeles. Excited about that. Kate, first time the USA Women's Eagles will play on home soil since the 2021 Pacific Four Series against Canada. That one was a 13-26 defeat to Canada at Finley Park in Glendale. Okay, you were playing in that game. What do you remember from that match?
Yeah, it was a great game. I mean, I think any game on home soil always comes with a lot of new energy and a lot of exciting energy. You know, we spend so much of our career in the last few years playing overseas and most of our international matches. So when we get those odd games on U.S. soil, they're of course extremely special. But the biggest thing I remember from that game, though, was obviously we were under the lights there at Glendale. We had a huge fan base, a lot of great cheers, a lot of great signs. And while it was a narrow defeat, you know, it was one of those games that, you know, we competed so well in. We've taken a lot of top competition the last few years. We've consistently been playing top five teams. And so, again, scoreline wasn't in our favor, but it was one of those games continuing to showcase the fact that we are a competitor with the top five. So always good. Hoping to, you know, maybe get one up on Canada, though. It's been a while.
Absolutely. I got to share this comment here. We've got a comment from one of our listeners here. I don't know if you can see that, Kate. She is Zachary, the number 8 for the Women's Eagles, the skipper and the kicker, a.k.a. the GOAT of U.S. Women's Rugby. Nice.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, look, let's fast forward to now. So it was announced last week, right, the traveling squad for the match. Notable that you are not on it. Is that because of rest, picked up an injury? What can you share with us?
Yeah, so unfortunately, we had a great game against South Africa in London a few weeks ago. And unfortunately, I picked up a small injury in the game. So nothing major. So I'll be back in a couple weeks' time. I'll be rejoining the team next week as we carry on to New Zealand and Australia. So sad to miss playing in this game on home soil, but happy to be here. And like I said, I'll spend my week in doing a lot of engagement and at the game be hanging out. So if you're there, come find me. I'll be around in the stands. Happy to hang out, chat rugby with anybody who's around. So yeah, so it's unfortunate, but it's also how sports goes sometimes, isn't it? So, but looking forward to watching the team take on Canada on home soil, though.
You can admit it's got to be bugging you a little bit that you can't be out there.
I mean, it'll kill me a bit. It's one of those, you know, my folks are going to come out, my in-laws are going to come, but I think now that I'm not playing, they're like, okay, well, we'll save up for the next game. It's always tough to come all the way back here to not get to play in front of friends and family, but, you know, we've got plenty more rugby coming our way.
We've got a lot of things to cover here in this half hour. We'll talk a little about women's elite rugby. Maybe we'll see Kate back over here on this side a little bit. We'll see. But Kate, fill us in. Yeah, you mentioned the win over South Africa. Big win. Put a lot of points on the board. What's the vibe with the team right now? How's everyone feeling?
Yeah, the vibe is really great. So we played South Africa a few weeks ago. We had we were together about 10 days leading up to that match. So we had a great camp with a lot of the UK-based players, as well as some of the US-based players who were selected for that game. Rewinding even before that in February, the US-based players had a couple-day camp as well. So, you know, we're under new leadership with Coach Sione taking over in December. So he is, you know, trying to get in as much time with our entire player pool. You're talking 60-plus players, mm-hmm. plus even more who want to put their hand up, who are trying to get on the radar. So, you know, he's doing everything he can to see those players. So now we've got two big camps and a test match, the game against South Africa. Tough competition. We haven't played them a whole lot, I think, since like 2016 or something like that. And so it's nice also just to have some new competition. And they're just a lovely team. So physical, fast, probably some of the hardest hits I've had in a while as well. So, but a big win. And I think the energy coming off that win going into a huge pack four, as well as one of our first opportunities for World Cup qualification coming up very quick. So, yeah, the vibe is really great going into this. I think confidence is high as well.
Yeah, you mentioned Rugby World Cup qualification, right, in WXV1, right, the top three of the four will qualify. Looks like it's going to come down to you and Australia. You mentioned Sione. He came from Australia. There's got to be some interesting friendly competition between, you know, what's going on there? Does he still have like a little bit of allegiance? We had him on the program maybe a month ago or so, and he told us completely he was like all in on USA, but I'm sure there's some friendly banter back and forth between the two.
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's going to have his connection with some of the players there, you know, as coaches do, and as they change clubs and stuff, you know, you'll always still have folks you chat with. But yeah, I think it'll be a nice friendly fire kind of day. But yeah, I think for him, I'm sure it's dual motivation. It's to beat kind of his old side. But again, also to knock out that World Cup qualification as early as possible, because otherwise we're delaying it till the fall. And so the sooner we can get that kind of off our shoulder and that shadow's kind of gone, the more we can relax and really settle in to prep for, you know, World Cup next year. So, yeah, I think there's always going to be pressure, but we're going to fly down there. We're going to play them on home soil, which I'm sure will probably make it even more exciting, to be honest, for, I think, mm-hmm. Sione to go back to kind of those stomping grounds and get to play and ideally get that win elsewhere.
And you confirmed earlier that you should be fit and healthy and ready for Australia, New Zealand.
That's the plan. So obviously everything comes with time and a bit of discipline. So we take it day by day at the moment, though. But, you know, happy to be here and looking forward to joining back with the team next week.
Yeah, I mean, like, injuries are part and parcel of playing such a physical sport like this. But mentally, when you have like an injury like that, how do you come back from that, right? Like, how do you not fall into that rut of, oh, woe is me, you know, sometimes that happens. Like, how does a top athlete like yourself, like, deal with an injury that sidelines you for a bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a couple part. Even just like last week, for instance, there was one day I was going through my rehab and I just kind of hit a wall, and I just went to our medical team at Ealing and I said, look, I have to go home. I'm burnt out. Like, that's me done for today. And I think it's also being okay that some days just you have to cut your losses and maybe go home and just start anew the next day. Cause it is like injuries take time. And I think if you try to rush it and you try to put too much pressure on yourself, it also becomes hard. So you have to enjoy it the best you can, but you also have to have grace at times, I feel like, which isn't always easy. Especially when you've got timelines, but, it's also then just, I think, surrounding yourself with supportive people, you know? So I spent the last couple of weeks with some of our other rehabbers at Ealing, and you get your own like sub community within the team. And I think that always helps, because everyone's going through the same thing, right? Everyone's got different milestones and hurdles, but we've all kind of been there, and you can see when someone else is down, you can bring them a little treat, little chirp in the ear and say, you can keep going. Here's a cookie.
Are you allowed to have cookies during rehab? Is that okay? Is that part of the diet?
It's the best time to keep fueling, because injuries need fuel to continue to rebuild themselves.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit more about Canada here. Canada, last I checked, ranked third in the world. Why do they do so well?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's something we've all been asking ourselves. Sometimes you can look at them and see how they're in a similar boat to we are. You know, they're continuing to work towards professionalizing their women's program. They're competing with other sports, right? So hockey's quite big there. You do have rugby, but you've also got football's growing more and more. Sorry, I've been in England for too long. I can't believe I just said football. I mean, there.
They didn't even register. Wow. I just turned it down.
Yeah. thanks for taking it easy there. So at any rate, you know, they're competing against different sports and things like that. But look, you know, their program, who have been, I think, mainly surrounded by consistent staffing. So their head coach, Kevin, has been there now the whole last cycle. And so he's taking what he built the last 4 years, and now he's just continuing to add on. So I think that is consistency on any sporting team, any business. Is where you start to see success, isn't it? So that's where, you know, we had some consistency with Rob. Then we had a long layover with interim staffing last year, who, again, did a great job. But when you never know what's happening next, it's hard to just keep building, isn't it? Because sometimes you're always just trying to, like, keep the ship afloat. Whereas now I think what we'll start to see is some, like, serious growth. Bringing on Sione, bringing on Mal, bringing on Ray. We've now got three full-time staff members that will see us through the World Cup. And so I think what you'll start to see now is a lot quicker growth.
Yeah. It seems like there's, you know, from what we've seen, a bit of the traveling roster, you know, South Africa, the Pac-4 series coming up, good mix of, you know, young, exciting talent coming up out of pathways and the veterans that have been there. I guess, you know, from what you've seen, talk about some of these younger players that, you know, you kind of, keeping your eye on and say, wow, like our future is looking bright with these younger players that are coming up?
Yeah, we've got some exciting players. I mean, like one case, right? You've got Erica Jurel, who she went with us to last World Cup, but she was still so young and new to the program. She didn't see a minute during that World Cup. And she actually only just finally received her first cap within this last year. So that's someone who it's really exciting. She then played 80 minutes first against South Africa and had a fantastic game. She also went from training as a prop to now finding her way as a lock. And is now finding her stride and finding her talents in the game. So it's great to see someone like that. But now you've also got additionally like an Olivia Leatherman, similarly, she is continuing to work really hard as a prop. She's a young player who's come out of the Notre Dame program and is continuing to vie for a spot on the team, but is putting in a lot of great work. I mean, from what I even saw from her in the fall to what I saw from her in the spring, like a completely different player just in a few short months. And so it's exciting to see that. And then you've got talent, you know, like Frida Tafuna and Tena coming from Lindenwood. I mean, Mace Hegopolo, like we've just got, there's so many names and they're all just so talented. So I think what's really exciting is a lot of those players have also come from our U23 program. They've come up through the pathways. And so I think what you see Martha and those coaches doing and implementing, they played a lot of games last year. And seeing that those U23 games have really paid dividends, I think, for our senior team, for, again, like the likes of May coming in, for instance. She captained the U23 team last summer and then is slotted into a starting role against South Africa early, you know, just 2 weeks ago. And so it's starting to see how that pathway development is rebuilt. I think you haven't really seen much post-COVID up until last year. So now that those younger players are having more opportunity, it's going to pay dividends into what our senior side has. And it's just going to continue to, you know, we've got what I like to think, you know, obviously our veterans and our experienced players who are still holding down the fort, but now you're going to get more crossover. Your Hope Rogers is going to give May all of her secrets, for instance. It's the next thing you know, in the next 4 years, May is playing with all the information she's gained from a Katie Benson and a Hope Rogers. She's going to take all of that, use it, experience, and then find her own way to continue to perfect the position and then do the same thing for the next group.
So you're helping the number eight, also the centers. Okay, like where have you not played? Where have you not played, essentially?
Hooker? Maybe not Hooker. I think years ago, once when I was first starting in my 15 square, they're like, maybe consider Hooker. And I was like, yeah, no thanks. I'm still new to 15s, but that sounds horrible. So bless all the Hookers out there. I don't envy the job you guys do. And it's a job I don't want. So that is one position I will not be vying for anytime soon.
Quick six sidebar.
Yeah.
I played in my alumni rugby game. I went to American University in DC. We had our first alumni game in like 6 or 7 years. First time I'd played the tackle 15 game in like 6 or 7 years. 10 of the alumni came out. I was like, cool, I'll play like maybe 10 or 15 minutes, kind of like hang out on the wing and just, you know, not tackle anyone, not get tackled, don't do anything stupid. Yeah, of course, classic style. The only jersey that was available for me was a ratted and torn up number 2. So when I put it on, everyone, they were coming out for subs. They thought I was running out at Hooker. And I'm like, you must be out of your mind. I am just camping out on the wing. I'm not playing Hooker at all. I did try to back down for one scrum, and it was the worst thing I've ever done in my life. And I'll never do it again. So please don't. Mad respect to everyone who plays in the front row, but I have respect for being there.
This God.
You talked a little bit about A and some other players, Lindenwood, right, Central Washington. It seems like there's a number. And now LaSalle, I don't know if you saw this, LaSalle in Philly is now going to have a varsity program, getting closer to that goal of 40, which then, you know, women's rugby in college goes from emerging sports status, I think, to official varsity status. So it's like getting close there. Would you say, I mean, I guess, what's your thought on the current state of women's college rugby? I know that's a big question, right? But you mentioned you were visiting schools. Is that scouting, or are you visiting schools because of like grad school, or like?
No, we're just going to like an elementary school and doing some of that more and just engaging like the community stuff. But I mean, I think you're seeing more and more, like, obviously rugby is quite big across so many university programs, but, and the club program is doing a great job, but I think like you touched on, it's going from an emerging sport to like an official NCAA sport. Mm-hmm. I think, in my genuinely just personal opinion, I think that will help us like just boom, grow rugby, I think, from the youth level. Because once you start seeing, you know, when I speak to people even in England and we talk about like rugby and growing the game, I'm like, I always said, besides turning it to your national team, like, why would you do it? It's not like you get a scholarship for university. Like, where's like, I'm like the American way, get a scholarship, go play sport and do an activity or something. So once you kind of start to have that varsity sport and we're able to offer more scholarships, provide, you know, again, like a more full coaching staff, because a lot of programs are already doing great job, but with less staffing, right, than other sports. So you start getting more adequate support for the staff as well. And kids are now able to go to school and play the sports they love. And what you'll see, I feel like, is down below, you'll start seeing that grow in the club game. Because then parents, you know, schools, high schools see that as another opportunity to help kids flourish and go off to university. And so I think by trying to do that, you'll see the game grow at the youth level. That the game grows at the youth level, the next 10 years, those 12-year-olds are becoming 22, and now they're featuring in your U.S. team and your U23 teams. And so very quickly, by when we're hosting the World Cup in a few years' time, like, it'd be amazing to see the amount of players that are involved now across the statewide, right? And especially now it's quite coastal with a few across the Midwest, but I think in 10 years' time, there's so much potential for that to grow. And now you've got your own Big Ten rugby team, right? Just like your Ohio State's have a big rugby team, who are taking on your Nebraskas, who are taking on your Linwoods and Central Washington's. Like, I think it'll be fantastic to do it. There will be challenges, and we just need to continue also building up our coaching pathways and our referee pathways alongside those. I think you kind of forget about building up the staffing around those programs. But if we put all those three tracks into place, it'd be amazing to see what happens in the next few years.
So that's one point, the infrastructure around. Yeah, it's one thing to have rugby programs come online and players and participants go up, but also supporting the next set of coaches and referees to make sure everyone's, you know, playing the rules right, or, you know, understands the game. Certainly a key part of that, and certainly the biggest part of all that will be that the money and the funds that flow into the sport, and which, again, you know, if you look just at women's sports across, you know, the landscape, right, the last 2 years have been, we've seen an increase in not only attention and awareness, but money going into all kinds of sport. Caitlin Clark's been phenomenal for that NCAA tournament. I didn't watch any of the men's tournament. Seriously, the women's tournament was where it was at, and that's where all the stars were. So that's been fantastic to see. Then WSL, they've had an exciting soccer season. So there's money coming into the sport. And, I mean, I wasn't going to get to it yet, but let's talk about it. Exciting news a couple of weeks ago about women's elite rugby. When I saw that news came down, that surprised me, because that seemed like it came out of nowhere. And obviously, it's been going on for a while. We've had, just a couple of weeks ago, we had the president and one of the board members for Women's League Rugby behind it on to talk about it, which was very exciting. Just got a coma. But what were your thoughts on women's elite rugby and the timing of all of it?
Yeah, I think I'm really excited for it. I think it's tough for someone, I feel like myself, because I'm like, well, I'm going to retire soon, so will I get the opportunity to play in it, or, you know, will be involved in a different role in a few years' time in the league? But I think really it's, especially after spending the last 4 years abroad, you know, you still never get that feel of, like, having friends and family sometimes, right? We've made new friends, we've made new, you know, family in the UK that you have games in, but you always kind of miss that, like, and you know, I had it in the WPL before I moved overseas, and, you know, WPL has started back up and again, but it's still in that pay-to-play model or with some support. So I think what's exciting to see is finally that next step. It's been talked about for years. It's just been trying to get the right people in the right roles, and then to get the funding to happen. So the fact that now they've already got the pre-seeding funding going, they're going to launch the rest of their funding over the summer. It's super exciting to see it finally come to fruition. Like I said, I've heard remnants of conversation for years now, but it was more like, who's going to make it happen? And so my hats are off to those board members for taking that and finally getting something launched and really running with it. And the promotion rollout was also fantastic. I mean, it got picked up on all sorts of news channels, which is the awareness we need. And, you know, we talk about American rugby, but that awareness was a nice spike, I think, to showcase that, like, women's rugby in America, it's coming. You know, it's been here, but we're about to grow something big very soon. So if you want to join now.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And back to the show.
You mentioned that scary word, retirement. we'll get to that in a second. But Kate, let's pump the brakes on that for a second, because you've got the World Cup in 2025. I don't need to tell you about that. That's also when WBR is going to launch. A year with the Trail Finders. Now I imagine you probably want to play for a few more years, maybe not. But tell us, could you see yourself? Would you like to play in women's elite rugby? I feel like I'm trying to convince you to come back to the U.S.
Yeah, it's tough because at the moment, my personal life has now moved over to the U.K. So my wife is there and she's restarting her career and stuff. So it's always one of those challenges for women in sport. It's not as easy as just moving a quick career. It's moving a life. So. Yeah. Is it one of those things I would love to do? It's just the reality of if I'll be able to do it, professionally and personally. So you never know. I mean, in the meantime, I'm just trying to stick around and stay relevant for another World Cup and then sail off into the sunset and get involved in rugby another way. So, an exciting 2 years, I think, again, for what's about to happen in America. And I'm excited to be a part of that in any way possible, even if it's not playing, is it some way of helping just grow the game through whether it's socials, whether it's coming back and help out with camps, I'm excited to see us start to have a professional league here and give women opportunity and more opportunity to be playing more regularly.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. Because you mentioned, could you envision more USA Women's Eagles who are playing overseas and right. And they're playing overseas because they're able to make some money. They're playing at the highest level of competition. Do you envision more Women's Eagles staying in the U.S. to play in Women's League rugby? And I bring that up because you keep hearing chatter from the Premiership Women's Rugby about potentially capping the number, if I have this right, the number of internationals that can play, right? Because England wants to develop more of their own domestic talent. I totally get that. But that means less opportunities for, say, Americans to play. I guess there's a two-part question in there. What are your thoughts around, PWR kind of putting maybe a limit or a cap on international players? And then do you think that then would open up opportunities, paid opportunities for Women's Eagles to stay in the U.S. and play in the Women's Elite Rugby?
Yeah, I think on the first one, obviously, I think, England does have to do what's best for England, right? You've seen it in the French league, men's and women's, they have caps on their international players. So I can't remember the specific numbers because it's changed a lot in the last few years, because it used to be a really small number, then they opened up to a wider number of internationals. But I do know it's a limited number in your player pool. And then similarly, you can only have so many on your game day roster as well in France. And so obviously England's moving that way. We've imposed and you have to have an average of 15 players over the course of the first half of the season that have to be English qualified players. And I think what you found though is a lot of teams struggled because they rolled it out pretty quick and pretty aggressive this season, and a number of teams have been struggling due to whether it's injury, recruitment, and location, because obviously two locations for some players, it's just not feasible, right? To maybe live in certain cities because, again, of personal life. And so maybe they haven't moved around enough. So at any rate, I mean, I totally get it. And I understand that. I think they may have rolled it out a bit too high. And you've seen a lot of coaches take to the media in the last few weeks just because they've now had to take negative points or they've had to change rosters completely, put players who are less experienced out just to tick a box. But again, makes sense. So I think that's where, again, this timing actually works out really well, potentially for, again, the next 2 to 3 years as it rolls out. It continues to get the funding, it continues finding its locations and rolling out the teams. You'll probably see a few of those players rolling back again. It's tough because once again, the money will still be there. No one's making a fortune doing it, but we're still getting to do something we're passionate about and still get to make enough of a living. But then it depends on, partners, personal lives and so on. Mm-hmm. But I think you'll see more and more players coming back in two part. And it's not just because England is going to have tighter laws on that, but I think it's also just because why not take an opportunity to play in your backyard and have your friends and family at every game?
I mean, I guess you could do the Charlie Jacoby route and head off to Australia and relax along the Sunset Coast or where in Queensland, where she is right now.
That's get out of the rain of England and enjoy sunshine and deadly spiders, whatever you're into.
Yeah, there is that. There is that. Yeah, Australia is certainly different over there.
You mentioned kind of the timeline, right? You think about like the tentpole of events that are coming down the line, right? You've got the Olympics this summer with women's Eagle 7 team, a real contender for a gold medal. And like the expectation and the pressure on them must be high, but like real opportunity. You're excited for that. Then, of course, you've got the Rugby World Cup in 2025. And then, okay, you've got Women's Elite Rugby launching, and then we're starting to get closer to 31, men hosting Rugby World Cup here in the U.S., and then just 2 years later, 33, women hosting here. Okay, you'll still be playing. I mean, it's not that far. Tom Brady can play at least 43. I'm not going to put that pressure on you, but...
Yeah.
I guess the point I'm driving at here is it must be exciting to see these events lining up and being able to participate, whether you're on the field or as part of the promotion or just being part of all of just the exciting stuff that is happening here. I mean, do you and your teammates like talk about, you know, take that journey about what it could look like, say, in like 5, 6, 7 years?
I think so. I mean, it depends, obviously, for I think some of us that are a bit more veteran, we are excited to see what comes next, right? So you always talk about like leaving the jersey and helping the program along. Mm-hmm. So I think for some of us, it's great to see what we've done in the last few years to help the program grow and increase awareness of women's rugby, right? So whether we're a part of it or not, right, it's all about the legacy. It's the same that like we honor the 90s team, the late 80s team for what they went through, the 2000s teams. Like everyone's gone through different points of their careers and the programs to build what the next program is going to get, right? So it's you're genuinely standing on the shoulders of the giants that came before you, and we're going to become a part of that kind of journey. So, you know, there's some conversation around it, but then it's also like all athletes who may listen to this, you also have to stay focused on the present and the here and now. So while we talk about the big picture, we also very much still have to stay focused on, even in this case, right? It's World Cup qualification. It's been a while since we've left a World Cup, not qualified already. So we have a big task at hand. That's maybe not a first, but actually maybe it might be a first for the program. So you know, we've got a job to do that's a very important one to make sure we continue the legacy of showing up, making the World Cup, and then hopefully, you know, getting to another quarterfinal, semifinal that next year.
Mm-hmm. You obviously big test match coming up on Sunday. Don't worry about past Canada, but I got to imagine, you know, Friday, May 17th, that is circled on the calendar. That's USC Women's Eagles versus Australia. I'm going to try and connect the dots here. You win that match. Essentially, that's the qualification that gets you two things, right? Automatically qualified for Rugby World Cup 25 and then up to WXC1.
Correct. Yeah. Depending on the outcome of these next three games, in particular that Australia game, that will then make two parts, as you mentioned. Yeah. So we either walk away after Pack 4 with World Cup qualification and WXV1 selection, or we go to WXV2 and we have another opportunity. So either scenario, you know, both WXV1, WXV2 are great places for us to be. We'd obviously like to be playing the best of the best in the next year building up. So, and like I said earlier, it's just nice to get the World Cup qualification done. And just because then you can focus a little bit differently on what you bring in WXV and what we prepare for next year and everything.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, last couple questions here and we'll let you go. I can imagine you're pretty tired. First, I got to pop up this comment here from Bill, who chimed in here. Sorry you couldn't make it tonight, but he says great stuff. Didn't want to get anyone sick.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Bill. What a guy.
But again, last two questions here, a little bit more of off the field stuff. How does Kate and Zachary relax? What do you do to relax away from rugby?
So we've my wife and I have a little wiener dog, little Chihuahua wiener dog mix called Whiskey. If you don't, you can follow him on Instagram, Whiskey Sour Paws. I can make this content, so if it's cheesy, that's why. But no, honestly, we just try to get out, take him on like walks around the park, as cheesy as it is. I think like we, with sport, it's so easy to get caught up in going to the gym, going to the field, watching film, eating right, getting your laundry done, getting your kit packed, like you can get in this aggressive routine, which is good. I love a routine. I love organization, but it's nice sometimes to just remember on like a Saturday when you don't have a game that like normal people live a life. So to be fair, we love taking him to the park, just getting a coffee, walk around the park. But I think secretly what I also really like to do, and now that it's nice, is I really just like to also take care of the lawn. I love mowing the lawn. I find it so relaxing.
Yeah.
I've been talking about maybe investing in some hedge trimmers for our backyard. You know, it's just, it's peaceful and no one can bother you. You can just have a nice time.
So like legit weed whacking and with a,
yeah,
a push mower talking, like old school push mower, or are we gasoline powered? Is it an electric one? Like, I'm curious.
Yeah, it's weird in the UK. I feel like everyone's got an electric one. So yeah, we probably an electric one. But I think it's also just the satisfaction of getting something done and completed that you can then sit on the deck. And I now understand when I was a kid and my dad would do lawn work all day and that he would just sit outside watching the sunset by himself, you know. And I was like, wow, this, now that I'm in that, I feel like I'm like, this is a nice, I understand this now, like getting something completed that isn't work related though, right? So like he'd come off a you know, normal job, Monday to Friday, 8 to 5, manage kids. But then on like a Saturday, just getting to do something that you choose to do and you still feel accomplished about, I think like just makes a huge like difference. Then when you sit down at the end of the day, turn the barbecue on and you can just look out on something pretty that you've accomplished. It's kind of nice.
Would 18, 19 year old Kate been surprised by what you just said there?
I feel like yes and no. I feel like, you know, there's probably part of me that was always a little bit of an old soul who liked accomplishing weird things like that. So yes and no.
Well, because like I can see, like, I mean, next you got to start your own little garden, and then once you have a garden, well, you need to pollinate it, so you got to have a beehive. You got to be a beekeeper, you know, so you can get your own honey. I mean, we can keep this going.
We did just buy, so in California we had succulents because they were just so easy to keep, and I think with how much I would travel for stuff, so we started with succulents because they're hard to kill. And so we actually just 2 weeks ago went and bought like 3 different like proper plants that need like the appropriate amount of light. Like, so we had to be like, is this the north facing window or south facing window? How much sun is it going to get? How many times a week do I have to water it? So I actually, this reminds me, I need to send my wife a watering schedule for the 3 plants because she can't be trusted. But we have started with plants. They're indoor, but, you know, maybe in a few years' time we'll broach to like a whole outdoor garden. You never know.
Gotcha. One last question here. This might be a big question. Post-rugby plants, Kate, have you thought about it? And you don't have to share right now. I know that's a tough question to tackle right now, but give us an idea of what post-rugby plans are for you.
Well, I'm definitely not getting it to you.
Well, besides gardening and making sure you have the best lawn in London.
Yeah.
Besides that.
Yeah. Besides trying to be a trophy wife, my other aspirations include, and I'm currently the rugby development officer at Trailfinders. So I'm trying to grow the game in and around and grow women's rugby. Or not when we have a women's team, but grow girls rugby. So we don't have a youth program currently for girls. So that's one of my jobs this year, which is really exciting. Alongside that, though, as well, coaching. I did a lot of coaching when we were in San Diego and have missed it these last few years, like getting to coach that 16, 18 plus range who are trying to get to the next level. So currently this year, what I'm doing a lot alongside playing is trying to perfect my craft. So a bit more coaching, and now also as well, like the administrative stuff on like going out to schools, doing presentations on, you know, the great, not just rugby, this hard-hitting sport, but also the sport that delivers great values like respect, teamwork, and discipline, and like how those can help foster individual growth and confidence building. So in a few years' time, I think hoping to be in some kind of role, still in sport, ideally still in rugby, but I think also sport in general is something that I've always done my whole life. And like I said, played soccer for 20 plus years. So I think post-rugby Kate is just hoping to be in the sporting world, getting kids in rugby and helping them along their way to whatever their goals are, whether that's to play for fun at an amateur level or get to the next level, and just trying to help facilitate that.
That's great. Kate, appreciate your time coming on and joining just me, because unfortunately Bill cannot make it close to 6, but
pay that way.
Bill's
the best host. This was your time on US Rugby Happy Hour Live where we had a video segment. Normally it's just been audio. So appreciate you joining us. We're pulling for the Women's Eagles this Sunday against Canada. It's a doubleheader too. There's an MOR. RCLA's taking on the Northern Free Jacks. So please, if you're close to LA, get to the match. It's going to be exciting. If you haven't got a ticket yet, you can save 10% by using either Eagles Overseas or Rugby Morning code to save 10% for anyone who's listening. Go out there. Please go. And Kate, good luck. The rest of the Paddock 4 series. We'll hope to see you out there against Australia and New Zealand and others. And then we'll have you back on the show, of course, once you qualify for the Rugby World Cup 2025 and all that good stuff. So plenty more to come. But again, thanks, Kate, for joining.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Oh, no, sorry. I got one more question, Kate. Someone asked a quick question. I wanted to ask you all a question about rugby as a college player. I'm going to put that up there. Hopefully the person, if you can hang for just a second, Kate.
Oh, yeah.
That person can start platinum. If you're listening, feel free to ask that question real quick. Well, Kate can
let us know. You know, I'm just going to Target after this, you know?
Just shopping at Target. Target could be like, hey, I need to pick up one thing and look at your bill. And it's, yeah, $200 later.
Yeah.
Let's see here. That's a star. Ask your question. She says, my question is going to be a bit long. Can you give me a minute?
Matt? A little bit longer. We can stall a little bit longer.
Kate, if you haven't yet, when you're in Los Angeles, and it's funny because actually, I think the LA's jersey sponsor now is actually a boba company. Have you had boba tea? Right. It's out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, please, you're like the boba capital of California. Go out. We're just buying a boba place. I'm sure it'll be.
Just... That'll be on my agenda for dinner tonight, then, you know? I still have to figure that out as well.
A lot of good food, right? I mean, if you like Mexican food, if you like sushi.
Yes. I mean, we lived in San Diego for 7 years. So, yeah, obviously, like, fresh burritos and tacos, like, just you can't get those in London. They don't even know how to do guacamole, right? So, yeah, going to have to at some point have a good taco.
So this is another question. As we're waiting for Star to get her question, here's a question here, Kate. Since we were waiting, what did you think of the South Africa women's rugby team?
Yeah, they were great. So we did also, last year we did a bit of a scrimmage session with them when we were in Spain. And so we had a great session where you just kind of did units against them. And even from that moment, it was a team that I was really looking forward to eventually get to play. And, you know, unfortunately, they didn't end up in our draw for WXV2. But just watching them, I mean, they're such a physical team. It's one of their strengths. Like, they've got so much speed, but they come off the line. Gosh, do they hit hard. And it doesn't matter which player it is, 1 through 15, no matter what size. They're a very physical team. They're also a very talented team. Even after the match, like talking with some of the players and talking to the team, like I just told them, like, I'm excited to see the product of rugby they continue to develop. It's exciting rugby. It's new and it's fresh, and they've got a lot of great talent. So absolutely happy to get the win. They challenged us, and it was good for us to work through a new system, get to know Sione get to know us. But it's also nice to walk away with only 10 days under our belt implementing all of that. So to get the win was massive, but also it was great to play a team who I feel like similar is kind of continuing to build something. And they're just a great team to chat with after. They're just so lovely. Mm-hmm. And that's one part too that we're still continuing to rebuild kind of post-COVID as well, of like the post-team functions and getting to know each other. So
awesome. Great question. And Star was able to get her question in. I don't know if you can see it on here. It might be a little long, but I will try and read it too. I'm a rugby player in college, and I sometimes get body dysmorphia due to the expected body type for certain positions. I want to play a certain position that I like, but I sometimes feel like I'm too skinny to play that position. Do y'all have any solutions for this as a professional rugby player? It's a really deep and good question.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. And I think, rugby, at least when I started, and I feel like even now, obviously you'll come across coaches who maybe tell you differently, but it is the sport that's created for all shapes and sizes. But I think, I think even for me, right, like if you look at flankers and across the world, like, and then you look at our back row, and whether it's Rachel Ayerke, myself, Georgie Paris Redding, like, we're not your typical back row. Like, to your point, like, we're small, like, frankly. But on the other hand, we have other skill sets. Like, I remember years ago when after I started playing eight, and I asked Rob Kane, our coach at the time, I said, are you sure? Like, I feel like I'm too small. And he said, sure, you are, but you run away and you're more agile. So you picking off the back of the scrum, it doesn't matter that you may be too small for this position. Your other athletic feats are what make you successful in this position. And so I think you can't, there's obviously certain attributes that certain positions have. Like a lock is traditionally going to be taller. Like that is, it helps with certain style of play, but they don't have to be a certain size though, if they're efficient at their job and if they bring other things that make them strong in that position. So it is easy to also compare yourself to someone else in the position. I think to your point, you know, you feel too skinny to do the position, but on the other hand, have a look at your strengths and understand why you're playing that position, why you believe you're good at it, and then own those. You know, like I said, in my case, it was the same. Like they said, you're too small. And I said, okay, but watch this. I'll just run away. And then just continue working to punch above your weight. So if you feel like you're too skinny, then continue developing your strength and contact, right? Because I feel like those are things that correlate. Oh, I'm too skinny, so I'm going to be less powerful. Well, no, not actually. Again, have you guys seen Georgie Paris Redding hit people? She's an absolute monster, but she looks too small to be a seven. She spent her whole career being told she's too small, but actually she's an outstanding international seven. And so don't really let other people, I think, tell you that you can't be a position. You may just have to work a little bit harder at certain skill sets, but I think don't let that define you.
Yeah, excellent. Great question. Great answer too. Yeah, truly believe that. Develop all your skills, pass both hands, kick both feet, good tackle angles. Your coach will find a spot for you on the field. There's no question about that. If you're the fittest player out there, you will find yourself on the field without question.
Yeah.
Can't teach effort for sure. Kate, thank you for staying on a little bit extra. That was overtime. And like we had a show, Star just said, that made me feel a lot better. I'll stop by to ask some more questions in the future. Thank you, of course. Star, this is why we do the show. So you can ask these type of questions. And again, Kate, thank you again for staying on just a little bit longer to answer that question. That's why you're the captain.
I'm the captain. Yeah, media training. No, I'm just kidding. No. Personal experience, and it's great to hear like from people like Star. Like they're, you know, it's a sport that's still growing, and it's a sport that's not perfect, so you know, everyone's got their struggles, so always have some grace and just keep doing your best.
Absolutely. All righty, Kate, we will let you go. Thank you again. Have fun at Target, and we'll have you back on the show and next time. All right, bye-bye, Kate.
Bye-bye, take care.
All righty. All right, everyone, that was our interview with Kate Zachary again. Kate, thank you so much for coming on, for taking the time to chat with me. Again, sorry Bill could not make it. Not feeling well, but he'll be back hopefully next week. I don't know who we're going to talk to yet, but we'll recap the exciting match, USA Women's Eagles versus Canada, top world Major League Rugby, and find something else to talk about. But again, thank you everyone for listening. Remember, like, follow, subscribe, Eagle Overseas and Rugby Morning. If you haven't gotten tickets yet for the USA Women's Eagles match versus Canada, go to the USA Rugby website, go to the event website, and you can save 10% by either using the Eagle Overseas or Rugby Morning code. Thanks, everyone. Talk again soon.
As always, please like, follow, and subscribe this podcast. If you're on YouTube, subscribe. Leave us a comment. Send the link to your friends. Follow us at Eagles Overseas and at Rugby Morning.
Sports Social Podcast Network.